Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Amen, amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining us this evening on Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. This is Sister Carla, and I'm your host filling in. Amen. Let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for a new day. We thank you for your many blessings, O Lord. We thank you for life itself, O Lord. Thank you for joy and peace. Even now, as I'm thanking you for life, Lord, you have blessed me with another day that I can praise you and give you glory that you have created me over 40-something years ago on this present special day. Thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters near and far. May you continue to bless them. May you continue to supply their needs according to your glory and riches in Christ Jesus, Lord. I thank you for those that will be listening to this rebroadcast, Lord. May you touch their heart with the message that I will be playing, Lord. May you fill them with the Holy Spirit afresh, O Lord. May each and every one of us call upon you, Lord, each and every day for the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit so that it can quicken our body so that we can be directed to your throne so that we can come boldly, Lord, presenting our defects of character, Lord, so that you can transform us, renew us, kind and loving Father. Forgive us where we have failed and come short, Lord. Please bless the youth among us, the young people, Lord, the children, even the elderly, Lord, each and every one of us, Lord. As our case comes up before you, O Lord, please, Lord Jesus, forgive us, Lord, of our sins or trespasses, O Lord. Thank you for having the mighty angels hold back the four winds of the earth, that it will not blow upon the earth until your people are sealed. Please help us to come into the fold, to be sealed, come into the settling of the truth. Lord, I thank you even now that you're interceding for each and every one of us. Help us to make our calling and election sure, Lord. Help us to choose you and help us not to go back to those sins that easily beset us, Lord. Help us to be on one accord with you, kind and loving Father. You have left us the Holy Spirit as a guide, a counselor, a teacher unto us. Help us to heed the voice of the Holy Spirit. Again, we thank you, Lord. We just praise you. We just magnify your precious name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. I will be playing the kit from a sermon from Randy Skeet. The name is Hatred for Sin. Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Dear God, I have little time to deliver this message, but it doesn't take you a long time to bless your people. Speak through me, dear God. In Jesus' name I pray. God's people say, amen and amen. Genesis 5, reading from verse 3. Do you have that? Read with me. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his own image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Adam were 930 years, and he died. How long did Adam live? 930 years. Verse 6. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. Adam lived how long? Seth lived how long? Let's go to verse 9. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Cainan. And Enos lived, after he begat Cainan, 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. Now we can go from Adam to Noah, the 10 patriarchs before the flood. Of course, Noah crossed on both sides. If you total the life, if you average the lifespans, you arrive at 913 years. If you remove Enoch, because the Bible says of Enoch, and Enoch lived 605 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So since he never died, we do not include Enoch in our calculation. So we're calculating from Adam to Noah minus Enoch. And the average we receive or we get is 913 years as the average lifespan. Now, that's a long time to live. When I tell people my mother's 96, they can't believe someone can live that long. 96. Listen to what the Bible says about Methuselah. Genesis 5, verse 25. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. When Methuselah had his first child, he was 187. My mother is 96, and some people are just amazed and delighted. God bless her. She's lived a long life. Well, if 96 is a long life, what do you call 969? Are you with me? That's how long Methuselah lived. Nine, and possibly there were others who lived longer whose lives are not recorded in the Bible. Adam to Noah minus Enoch, average lifespan, 913 point something something. Now, there were 10 other patriarchs after the flood. They go from Shem to Abraham. The average for them, 313. Or 316. The longest life being Shem, who lived 600 years. Now, between 913 and 316 lies a gap of almost 600 years. By the way, let me tell you what contributed to that. You won't like it, but I'll tell you. Are you ready? Counsels for the Church, page 228, I believe it's paragraph 2. Here's what Ellen White says, that God did to shorten people's lives. And he permitted that long-lived race to eat animal flesh in order to shorten their lives. Oh, I'll miss you when I leave. Did you hear what I said? One way God used to shorten people's lives was to allow them to eat dead animals. So you need to understand, one purpose of animal flesh is to shorten your life. I hope from this point on, you look differently at beef and mutton. An alligator, whatever people eat, look at it differently. That thing is designed to kill me. Let me get off that painful subject. Let's get back to the lifespan of those who lived after the flood. 913, 316, almost 600 years of difference. Now, what does that do to the mentality of a person? Follow me closely. Let's look at the life of Abraham. Well, yes, let's go to Genesis 17. We're looking at Abraham's life. Genesis 17, let's read from verse 1. God appears to Abraham in that chapter. Verse 1 says, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, God has a long speech with Abraham, or Abram, That's what he was then. In verse 5, he becomes Abraham. Now, in verse 15, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her. She shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. That's what God told Abraham. Read verse 17 with me, my King James family. Are you ready? Read verse 17. What does it say? Then Abraham did what? Fell upon his face, go on, and laughed, and said in his heart, what? Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? Now Abraham is saying, look, God must be joking. How can I have a child? I'm 100. It is physiologically impossible for my wife to have a child. She is 90. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? The thinking of mankind had changed in correspondence with the declining length of longevity. Let me say differently. As people lived shorter and shorter lives, the thinking regarding lifespan changed. It changed so drastically that Abraham laughed at God. When God said, you'll have a son, he laughed. I'm 100. I'm looking towards the grave. Sarah is 90. Her days of productivity are past. It could not register on the mind of the father of the faithful that he could have a son at 100. Now, Moses wrote the book of Genesis. Listen to Moses writing about the death of Abraham. Genesis 25, verses 7 and 8. Genesis 25, 7 and 8. Find it quickly. Are you there? The Bible says, now these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 115 years. How long is that? 175. Not bad. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died. Read on now. In a good old age. Keep reading. An old man and full of years. Let me go back to Methuselah. Abraham died at 175. Methuselah had his first child at 187. Moses records Abraham's life as a long life, because Moses' mind was attuned to the fact that lives were much, much shorter. Let's leave Moses for a while. Let's go a few hundred years later. Let's go to David. Listen to David. The years of our lives are 70. How many is that? 70. And if by reason of strength there be 80, how many is that? 80. For Moses, Abraham's life was a long life. Not for David. For David, a long life was 70. Let me slow down. Listen to me carefully. The thinking had changed, even for godly men. Abraham could not imagine that at 100, he would have a child. Why am I saying all of this? In connection with the call I made earlier. This world has been in sin for how long? 6,000 years. We have been in sin so long. As Abraham laughed at God, when God mentioned the possibility of a child at 100, Christians today laugh at the thought of conquering sin completely in their lives. It makes no sense to them. Everyone is stealing. everyone is sleeping with everybody else, everyone is engaged in immoral behavior, it is impossible to live a victorious life. That's the way people reason today. And it is hard to find a believer who truly believes that it is possible to conquer sin completely in the life, because the world has been in sin so long. It makes no sense. Even though God said you can. And so the same way Abraham laughed at God when God spoke his word that cannot lie, there are believers who laugh at God when his ministers say you can conquer sin. Because we've been accustomed to sin for so long. There's a statement Ellen White makes, I think it's Christ Triumphant, page 22, paragraph 3, where she writes, as Adam witnessed the first signs of decay in the falling leaf and the drooping flower, he mourned more deeply than men now mourn over their dead. Let me modernize that. When Adam saw the first leaf fall, he cried as if he were at a funeral. A leaf. If someone saw me crying over a leaf today, where's Dr. Jones? You would recommend me to have a visit from the doctor. Something. Why? Because we have come so far, we are no longer bothered by a falling leaf. I'm from the state of Michigan. People fly from all over the country to spend a few days in Michigan and Maine and New England to watch the leaves turn and fall. It is celebrated. When Adam saw the first leaf, he cried and he cried. Our minds have been conditioned by sin to such a degree that what made Adam cry causes us to celebrate. My brothers and sisters, the Bible requires us to conquer sin. If you say sin cannot be conquered, you are criticizing the power of Calvary. And you are saying the sacrifice of Christ was not enough. Let me ask you to reason with me. This belief of you can conquer most sin, but you have to sin once in a while, that is catastrophic. Listen to me carefully. How many sins did Adam commit before God threw him out of the garden? One. Did God put him out of the garden? Yes or no? Yes. What does that tell you about what God expects? Come on, reason with me. If God threw Adam out for one sin, what kind of life does God require? A sinless life. Now, if God put Adam out for one sin, can he let me into heaven with one sin? My brothers and sisters, listen to the very first promise of the Bible. The very first. And there are thousands of promises in the Bible. Go to Genesis 3, verse 15. You ought to know it without looking. But you're still looking. Genesis 3, 15. Are you there? Read it with me. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now listen to the words again. This time we shall read that verse how? Microscopically. And I, who is I? God, be more specific. Christ. You see, the moment Adam sinned, the Father no longer communicated with man. All communication were turned over to Christ. Let me say it again. The instant Adam sinned, the Father ceased all communication with mankind, turned it over to Christ and to angels. This is Christ. Yes, speaking for the Father, but Christ. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Now, why does Jesus say, I will put enmity? What is enmity? What's enmity? Hatred. Jesus says, I will put hatred between you and the woman, meaning the devil and the woman. Now, God says he will put the hatred because no sinner naturally hates sin. Let me put it more embarrassingly. The mind of a sinner and the mind of Satan are the same. The only difference is in degree of wickedness. Satan has more power to be wicked than I am. But the mind of a sinner and the mind of Satan are the same. Only the power of God can cause someone born with the carnal nature to hate sin. Because to hate sin, one needs power from without. And that's the power of God. God does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. No sinner by himself, by herself, can hate sin. On the contrary, we love sin. It is natural to us. That's the way we're born. Every person is born. Let's say this is upright. This is an upright, okay, vertical line. This is righteousness. This is sin, all right? Sin to the right, righteousness to the left. We're born leaning to the right. Sin. That's the way we're born. I didn't say we're born sinning. I said we're born preferring sin. Let me say it again. We are born with a preference for sin. The only power that can change that preference is the power of God. And so Jesus said, way back in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. I will cause you to hate sin. Now, why does he have to do that? Here's how we're born. Romans 8, verse 7, don't go there, just listen. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Now, we've found the word enmity twice. In Genesis 3:15, we have enmity. In Romans 8:7, we have enmity. In Genesis 3:15, Jesus says, I will cause you to hate the things of Satan. In Romans 8:7, we're born hating the things of God. I'll say it again. In Romans 8:7, we are born hating the things of God. Not just God. Yes, God too. But the things of God. That began back in the garden when Adam sinned. Now the hatred was not fully formed, but it began. And Jesus said, I want to redirect your enmity, not against me, but against Satan. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. My young brother, you can hate watching pornography. Ask God to give you hatred. Of course, you've also got to do your part and avoid the circumstances that make it easy for you to do it. Young ladies, you can hate whatever else you do. It's a promise from God. You can hate the things you now like. I can hate the sins I find attractive. It is God's first promise of the Bible. Not a promise to give you money. Not a promise to bless your business. Not a promise to open the womb of the woman who's been trying to have a child. The very first promise is a promise to hate sin. Surely it must be God's desire that we claim that promise above every other. Lord, give me hatred for sin. Give me hatred for chewing betel nut. Give me hatred for drug addiction. Give me hatred for whatever it is that ruins my life. Give me hatred for sin. And as I made the call earlier tonight, give me hatred for that thing that I confess tonight. And renew that hatred every day. My brothers and my sisters, God has one problem in the entire universe. What's that problem? It has three letters, begins with an S. Last letter's an N. How many clues do you need? Sin. There's one solution. The life of Christ. There is no weakness you and I have tonight. Not one. That cannot be broken by the power of Christ. Let me say it again. There is no weakness you or I have that cannot be broken by the power of Christ. The devil, what time is it? 5 to 8. May I go to 8:15? Say yes. All right. Sometimes you have to tell people what to say or they may tell you the wrong thing. The power to overcome is available through Christ. Let me tell you about the devil. The devil is the second most powerful being in the universe. Only Christ or God is more powerful than Satan. Not even Gabriel, the highest angel, is as powerful as Satan. The power of Satan is the power of sin. Listen to me again. Next to God, the most powerful being in the universe is Satan. When you wrestle with sin, or I wrestle with sin, we are wrestling with the power that is exceeded only by the power of God. Bible Commentary, Volume 5, page 1083, paragraph 1. The servant of the Lord writes, "Bear in mind that it is none but God that can hold an argument with Satan. Not Gabriel or any other high angel. Only God can win an argument with Satan." And so when Christ came to the earth, his father warned him. Christ triumphant, page 190, paragraph 4. Christ had been warned not to enter into argument with Satan. Can you imagine? The Father warned Christ when he came to this earth, do not get into arguments with Satan. Because in your humanity, you cannot win. The only power that can conquer Satan is the power of God. Why am I stressing this? Because the power of sin is the power of Satan. That's why an angel couldn't die for us, no matter how high he was. It took someone equal with God himself to pay the price to conquer this force called sin. And so tonight, as you've listened to the words, those of you who made commitments earlier to stop that thing, I want you to understand the power available to you is the very power of God. Listen to these words in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead? Paul is saying, the power God gives to us is the very power that brought Jesus Christ from the grave. Now that is power. What an amazing promise. Now, when Christ came from the grave, he did not come from the death that Lazarus suffered before Jesus raised him, or the death that Eutychus suffered before Paul raised him. No, this was the death that's the punishment for sin, the second death. What power brought him back from that? That's the power that God gives to us to conquer sin, which means there is no excuse in the eyes of God for not conquering sin. Now, am I saying you conquer it overnight? No, but the desire to conquer must be in the heart 100%. I want to stop smoking. Even that desire comes from God. Steps of Christ, page 26, paragraph 3. Christ is the source of every right impulse. A desire to do right comes from Jesus. Even if an atheist has a desire to do what's right, that came from Jesus. Because the carnal nature has no impulses to do what's right. And so you ask God, give me a love for what's right. And give me the power to resist sin. Let me say it again. You say to your Father, in the name of Jesus, give me a desire to do what's right. And give me power to conquer sin. Let me say it again. In the presence of a holy God, there is no weakness we have we cannot conquer through total surrender to Christ and constant contact with his power through his word. Somebody say amen. Of course, there are those who love their sin so much, they do not want any victory. Well, the love for that sin will take you one way, and you know where that way is. But Christ died that all of us may have a place with him in his kingdom when he comes. And for every person that is lost, God will have a vacancy in his heart for eternity. Let me say that again. For every person who's lost, there'll be a vacancy in the heart of God, because God has a place in his heart for every single person. Why do I say that? Well, let's consider this. Christ will carry the marks of the crucifixion throughout eternity. He'll have them. The marks of our salvation. And so I say again, the Father will carry a vacancy in his heart for every person who is not saved. Don't cause a vacancy in the heart of God. Don't let Christ bear the marks of the crucifixion in vain. Don't allow the sacrifice of Christ to be a waste in your life. For Christ's sake, for the sake of the Father, for the sake of all that heaven paid for your salvation and mine, give your life to God so completely that your greatest joy will be the things that please God. And the things that please God are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And what does the Bible call those things? The fruits of the Spirit that express the very character of Christ. My brother and my sister, let me ask you to show God where your thinking is. How many of you will say with me, Father, give me the power one day at a time to live a victorious life. May I see your right hand. One day at a time. Keep your hands up. Just for a few more seconds. Let the angels record your response. This is very serious. Take your hands down and stand. Simple call to follow up. Listen very carefully. When I called earlier tonight, there's something you're doing you need to stop. Many people came. Let me ask now. Is there someone who did not come then, but you'll come now? Come. Earlier I made a call. There's something I'm doing I need to stop. Many people came and made that commitment. If you did not come then, but you moved to come now, come, let me pray for you. Come. Even if there's one, come. You did not come when I made the first call. You're moved to come now. Come and say, Father, there's something I'm doing I need to stop, and I'm coming now. I didn't come when the call was made the first time. I'm coming now. Come. Let's pray. Something I'm doing, it's wrong. I need to stop. Come. You didn't come the first time. You're coming now. Every man, every woman has the privilege of changing her mind. Change your mind and make the right decision. Come. The call was, there's something I'm doing that is wrong. Father, I need to stop before this thing destroys my life. You did not come the first time. You'll come now. Come. I'll pray. I let you go. Remember what I said earlier. Every time you hear a message, make a decision. Because you may never have the same experience again. You may attend other services. They will never be exactly like this. Someone else. I did not come the first time. I'm coming now. Come. Tell God you want to stop that thing that is ruining your life. Even though it may provide carnal pleasure, it is ruining your life. The devil told Eve, if you disobey, your eyes will be opened. You'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. The devil always produces or presents sin as beneficial. It is not. Sin is suicide. And the blood of Christ is available to deliver us from that suicidal thinking and suicidal behavior, which is called sin. You did not come the first time. Come now and say, Father, there's something I'm doing. I need to stop. Please, dear God, give me the strength. Help me. Because if you don't, I'm lost, which is the truth. help me, dear God, to stop it. Come. And I pray, and we go home. But go home with a different mindset. You're leaving this place with a mind that desires victory. And victory begins with the desire, because God's judgment begins in the heart, not the action. Christ's Object Lessons, page 16, 316, paragraph 2. Every act is judged by the motive. God is looking here, not just the movement of your feet. And once he sees 100% desire to stop, he will give you the power. You may stumble sometimes, yes, get back up and try again. On the way to the cross, Jesus fell, he got up. He fell again, he got up. He tried. Try, and the Lord will bless your effort. Anybody else? There's something I need to stop. The call was made earlier, I didn't move. Oh, I wasn't present. I am moving now. Come. 60 seconds and I pray. Let no one hold you back. Christ died publicly. We need to make decisions for him publicly as far as possible. No one needs to know what it is. You're confessing it's not anybody's business, but yours and God's. Come. 45 seconds. There's something I'm doing. And since this is a young people's revival, sexual immorality is rampant among the youth. If that's what you're confessing, God is delighted. Stop. Before a disease stops you, or some life that you didn't plan for, before something happens and ruins your life, God will still save you if you confess, but your life will be changed. Remember the thief on the cross. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What did Jesus say? Verily I say unto thee today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. But Jesus left him on the cross. Are you listening to me? He saved him, but left him on the cross. And some of us, when we persist in sin, when we confess the very last second, the Lord will save us, but he'll leave us on our crosses. The sooner you stop, the better it is for you and for God. Anybody else? Something I'm doing, I need to stop. Father, I'm making that decision now. Come quickly. Anybody else? Remember, the power to overcome is the word. Take it in every day. Christ's Object Lessons, page 100, paragraph 1. If studied and obeyed, the word of God works in the heart, subduing every unholy attribute. Every single one. Jude verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Anybody else? I need to stop. Come. Come. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, your sons and your daughters have answered the call, their God. I made it earlier. Many of them came. Your spirit has led me to make it again. Others have come. Father, my request is simple. You have said in your word, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. You are not willing that anyone in PNG, anyone in Port Moresby, to be lost. In other words, you desire to save everyone. But Father, help us to understand, you cannot save us in sin. And so, dear God, as your people have come, in the precious name of Jesus, and because you are merciful God, and because you're the one who sent your Son, look with favor upon us, dear God, and give us power to sustain us tonight. Put into our hearts, dear God, a hatred for sin that Jesus had. As the Bible says of him in Hebrews 1:9, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Give us that same hatred for sin, especially, dear God, the besetting sins. Please, Father, if you mean what you say in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, that you will have all men to be saved, if you mean it, then give power to your people, dear God. I speak with respect, Father, but I must confront you with your word. If you mean it, give them some power now. that they may leave this place standing on the strength of your word that cannot lie. The price for our sin or our salvation is too great for you to ignore those who desire victory. Father in heaven, if I have said anything to displease you, forgive me, dear God. Forgive me. Now, Father, I commit this entire congregation into your care. As they leave, the devil will try to create accidents and one tragedy or another. I am asking you in the name of Jesus, take them safely home. Let the words they heard ring in their ears, dear God. Bring us back tomorrow, I pray, to hear your word. I offer this prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Let all God's people say, amen and amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.
Amen, amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us this evening. May you have a blessed night rest. Hope to hear you back on the prayer line tomorrow evening. Thank you, and God bless. Amen. Bye-bye now.